Hello and welcome to technically it's the second edition of Trivial Arguments. I haven't edited the first one. I have no idea what it actually sounds like, so we're just going to skip that for now, and we'll go ahead with this one. I'm hoping to do both things in the name. Let's do some trivia, and then we'll also get into some arguments. For this one, I figured there's no better way to make sure that I know what I'm doing than to get my dad on here, who should be able to tell me whether it's good, bad, or I'm wasting my time. So without further ado, I'm Lenny. He's also Lenny.
Hi, Len.
Hello, Len. So it's not me talking to myself. There are two Lens in the room. We'll go over being a season ticket holder, me or him, not me. We'll go over the 2016 World Series. We'll go over the current team, and then we'll do some trivia, and then I think that's all we have here today. So first and foremost, you've been a season ticket holder for how many years?
38 years,
and I've been born for 28 of those, which means there were at least 10 miserable years without a son. Let's see. I mean, there were a lot more terrible years probably in Cub history since I've been born than, you know, others, but let's talk specifically being a season ticket holder. You were originally in the lower seats, is that correct?
No, actually, originally we were in the base in the upper deck, first row, left the home plate, and we started out with a group. There was five of us, so we each actually owned a ticket at the time. And then as the years went by, people that I used to know, obviously they moved out of town, this, that, or whatever. And I kept the last two. Getting older in my age, I found out that sitting in the first row at that time, I was drinking a lot of beer and could tolerate the sun. But as you got older, I was drinking less beer and didn't like the sun. So I actually called a ticket agent. His name eludes me at this time. And asked to request to move it over by the under the overhang, which is another five rows up. And I've been there probably since 1990.
And I was born in 1992. So I probably don't remember any games where we were that low. That's unfair.
Yeah.
Let's see. My first memory of a game, we got the, I think it was either Kerry Wood or Sammy Sosa, like a Beanie Baby or something like that. And I probably only focused most of my time on the Beanie Baby and couldn't tell you. I'm sure you spent a buttload of money on hot dogs and candy and whatever else. And all I could remember was the free Beanie Baby that they gave out in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, and the exact year, whatever, but obviously Lenny was a little guy and he had a friend named Jonathan. And Jonathan had a brother, and actually the tickets we had at that time, I bought extra tickets. We were sitting basically behind the home plate. And trust me when I tell you, by the third inning, none of them had any interest in what was going on. I had already drained my wallet of the popcorn and the pop and the hot dogs and that. And it would surprise me that anybody remembered the final score, who won or whatever. But I was excited as a dad to take my son and his friends to one of their first Cub games.
If I remember correctly, that was shortly after, I'm assuming it had to have been after I joined Little League and I wore the cup outside of my pants.
Yeah, that was impressive, okay? Everybody gave me a double take.
I wanted to make sure that it worked. So I banged the bat off of it and I said, well, I think we're good to go. Everybody else looked stupid, had theirs in the pants. How is that going to protect anything?
Well, based on what I've seen that day, and I love you as a son, but they had you playing second base and you kind of put your glove down and the guy went out there and said, hey, Len, you got to play second base. And Len said, no, I just want to hit. So Len implemented a designated hitter rule. I think it was five or six or whatever. He had just moved into a new neighborhood and that. So he figured it out real quick. All right? They didn't have to play defense. He just needed to hit the ball.
It was probably the first designated hitter in Cubs history.
Could be.
And most of those hits were me banging the bat off my junk. So there you go. Probably went 0 for 2 that day as well. So I don't know if you remember this, but I was thinking about this earlier. there was one game. I had looked at the actual date of September 12th, 2006. That was the game that the Cubs had six errors and Freddie Bynum had three of them.
Oh yeah, I remember. I remember that day, and your father being a diehard Cub fan, and watching go through some lean years. That was the last thing I needed to see in one inning. In fact, I believe they could have charged him with another error, but they, I guess they, you know,
took mercy on him
on the score sheet.
Yeah, someone probably forgot. You know, there wasn't enough ink in the pen. There were six errors. There was three by Freddie Bynum, one by Derek Lee, one by Cesar Isturiz, and one by Jack Jones.
Yeah, Jack Jones had been one of Lenny's favorites at the time. I don't know why. He just got entranced with Jack Jones or whatever. But
he was the only guy who had – it was like a maroon bat. It wasn't very good. I mean, I went back and looked at all the numbers. It wasn't good, but for some reason I was very excited when he was up at bat. But, again, he was not very good.
Well, the whole team wasn't very good for many years in that. So, you know, being a season ticket holder for 38 years – I only got smart when they won in 2016, but they got a boatload of my money all those years in that. But I have no regrets. I'm just hoping that my kids follow through, Lenny, his sisters, and this and that, and they enjoy as much time I had, even when they were losing at the ballpark. There's something about being there in the fresh air, you know, and you do get a little relaxation in that. So it's all good, especially if you're a sports fan.
I mean, like I said, there were some pretty grim days. I mean, when Theo took over, I think in 2011, 2012, I mean, they basically said, we're just going to be losing for a while. And you had to just buckle up. But being a season ticket holder does come with its perks. I mean, the one and only World Series probably in both of our lifetimes, hopefully not, but that's the way it's kind of looking, was 2016. Let's see. So you and Mom were both outside for game five. That was one that they absolutely needed to win.
Right.
They were down 3-1 already. So game five, you and Mom were outside. Me, Linda, Laura, Lisa, we were all in the bleachers. And is there anything specific about those, that like playoffs, that you felt like, oh man, like they might have something here, or were you just grateful to be there? Or,
well, Lenny knowing his mother, when I married her, and I've been married for 43 years, she wasn't an avid sports fan. We kind of like railroaded into it, but she really got into it in around, probably around 2013, 14 or whatever. So
it's when she stopped bringing a book to the ballpark?
Yeah, right. Or knitting or whatever was going on or whatever, and this and that. But game five stands out because I was able to, me and my wife there and the kids were there and that, and they actually won the game. So it was like, it was just craziness, pamboyant was going on or whatever. And, you know, it was just such a good feeling. Like I said, on the other end in 2003, well, I think it was the Florida Marlins when we were five outs away, and sitting in the same seats, and you know, my dad had just passed a couple of years prior to that, who was a diehard Cub fan. All right, I mean, he's such a diehard that the first night game I ever took him to, I was working and I was running late, and they were playing the Dodgers. And by the time we got to the game, it was top of the second, we were losing 6-0, and he was not a happy Dago, an Italian dude, and he was speaking his piece. And the people in front of me kind of said, hey, Len, we know you've been here for many years and that, but do us a favor, right? Don't bring your dad anymore. He was cranky and that. He had it. But anyway.
Yeah, that was the game that or the potential World Series that I got screwed out of.
Right, because I promised Lenny, being my only son, that if the Cubs ever went to the World Series, he'd go to the first game. Well, as everybody knows, you know, that didn't happen. We waited another 13 years after that, but we finally got there. So, you know,
I remember watching it on TV. I had made like a poster board. I put it in front of the TV. I grabbed every baseball, every glove in the house, figuring that, you know, if this team was jinxed, that maybe that would unjinx it. I don't know why any of my, you know, failed attempts at baseball that I put next to the TV would have helped them. But I mean, it was something that I definitely gave a shot. It was, I drew a Marlin with a couple X's on it, and that obviously did not work. But
and it was an eerie feeling because any baseball fan knows that they lost the last two games to the Marlins. And after blowing the last one especially, you can hear a pin drop in the stadium. I mean, it was just like a funeral was going on. All right. And as you walked out of the park, nobody hung around. Nobody had an extra beer. All right. Everybody was headed for the L's, and there was just blocks and blocks of people waiting to get on the L. They were that devastated. I mean, it was just a spectacular thing that hopefully never see again, but the experience, and, you know, that's baseball.
Well, that's why I kind of figured that if they ever won, that they'd probably just burn the city down.
Yeah.
Because they were so quiet in 03. I mean, I think everybody anticipated if they ever won that they'd just burn the city to the ground. But I think when they won, everybody was so happy that, you know, they had finally done something. I think it almost was more calming than anything else. Nobody wanted to do anything to, like, ruin the moment. Everybody was just celebrating, and, you know, that was about it.
Yeah, and if you remember the parade they had, assumedly they said there was over 5 million people there, which at that time was, I don't know, either the largest or second largest gathering in the United States for an event. And I don't recall any major problems at all, but yeah, it was quite an experience. Long awaited, all right, and well received. And again, hopefully it's not the last one for me, my time, but especially for my son and his sisters and that. Hopefully they have a few left of them.
I think it was 5 million Cub fans and like 40 White Sox fans that found out everybody was day drinking on a Friday. So thanks for coming out. Is there anything specific from 2016 that you remember, like whether a playoff game or that like World Series, or that you thought like, oh, this team might have something? Or have you seen it so many times that it didn't even really faze you? Because they say a lot, you know, oh, this team, you know, has it, and then they never ever did anything.
Well, if you have, you know, any diehard Cub fan has watched them at that time lose more than they won, they could have a nine-run lead in the eighth inning, and you were still nervous. So that's kind of how, you know, when they start coming through in 2015, I think 2014, they lost 100-plus games. And in 2015, they really didn't expect them to do a lot, but obviously they did and made the playoffs in that. But again, you know, 16 was, it just seemed to be, they got off to that great start. I think it was 25-6 or something like that. They slumped a little in July just before the All-Star break, and all of a sudden the thoughts were coming in. You know, they're going to blow this thing. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. But no, they just kept going full bore or whatever in that. And, you know, everybody needs a little luck. I don't recall, you know, I think they just had a talented team. Everybody had a career year, and it just fell into place for them. And, if you look at that seventh game, what was going on there when they were up, I think it was 6-3 or 6-4. And then the home run was hit to tie it up. I mean, it was enough to turn your stomach in knots because every diehard Cub fan says, they're going to blow this, you know, whatever. And Lenny can tell you, you know, his father or whatever, so aggravated that I actually left the room and I couldn't watch anymore because it was just, it was making me sick for sure. But then when they finally got a couple doubles and a single and that, I was listening to the radio while they were in the living room. And it was like a 5-second delay. So I actually knew that they, you know, took the lead before they did. And I just was waiting for the noise in the living room. And then, you know, like I said, at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, me and Lenny had a course.
Yeah, it's almost blasphemous to say that, you know, we weren't even really prepared. We didn't even have any old style in the house. Figured that was the first thing that might have actually probably jinxed it. It's probably why we didn't do it, but. Yeah. I remember right as they won, we both looked in the fridge and went, oh, well, I guess we don't have any old style.
Yeah, that two-week period where they were playing Cleveland, that every game was, you know, later and that. So anybody that had to go to work at that time, I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to work. So, you know, I didn't get any sleep for 2 weeks. It was brutal, but you know what? It was well worth it.
Yeah, I mean, they played, what, 6 games against L.A.? I mean, most of those games started, what, like 9 o'clock?
Yeah, 9,
our time?
9, 9:20, something like that.
Yeah. And you'd be an idiot if you went to bed, but I mean, those games were ending around midnight and, you know, still at work the next morning, but I guess it all paid off.
A good time was had by all.
Also, side note, did you know that Freddie Bynum game, they actually won 9-8?
That's amazing. I don't, yeah, I don't.
I thought for sure they lost like 16-1. Yeah, I look back at the box score, they won 9-8 somehow.
And I'll take
Freddie. We must have, yeah.
I don't think Freddie Bynum's been seen since.
I think we probably walked out, probably walked out with him in the third inning.
Yeah, he's probably on the L with us going home.
Yeah, probably didn't even recognize him. He's probably wearing a bag over his head. But I mean, so they won the World Series. We'll find out later whether you remember anything about that World Series. Maybe you were too, you know, too tired or delirious or didn't even remember that, you know, they won, but I'm going to ask you trivia later and I'll even give you money out of my own pocket if you can answer some of these questions.
Oh, anytime you get Lenny's money, you got to grab it.
That's why, I mean, the questions are fairly easy for me, but.
Yeah, I think I'm getting set up.
I mean, I wrote the questions. So.
Hope you know the answers.
Yeah. Is there any, well, 2016 was the last time I can remember that when the Cubs were down by one run in the ninth that you were still in it. I mean, 17, 18, 19, 20, if they were, you know, down by one in the second inning, you could almost write it off because the team had no, I don't know, heart or they had no, like, clutch anymore. 2016, they had, like, you know, they were never out of it and they were always pushing and.
Well, I mean, I don't know the exact statistics, but their on-base percentage, you know, was high. They moved runners over. They got the key hits, this and that. And during the past couple of years, it just seems that they got quality players, but, you know, they can't get two or three going at the same time. You know, it's a big swing and a miss. They need, you know, to make a little more contact or whatever. And, you know, this year our aspirations are, you know, the division doesn't look all that strong, but still after the last couple of years of, I would call underperforming, especially getting on base in that. The pitching is, you know, you really can't complain about it. We don't know what we're going to be in for this year because basically got almost a whole new rotation in that. But they still, you know, the Rizzos, the Baez, the Bryants, and maybe because they're free agents, you know, to, you know, start putting the ball and the wood on the ball and that, and then, you know, all in for salary drives and that. So that's only the discerning thing I have is the failure of lack of making contact. You know, man on third, nobody else, can't get them in. Bases loaded, one out, can't get them in, you know. So,
well, it's always been like the fundamental baseball that somehow they like either lost interest in doing or they forgot how to do it. Because, I mean, I wonder how many, you know, times they had runners in scoring position and instead of a sac fly, they were, you know, grounding into double plays or, you know, just stupid stuff like that where they used to be able to, you know, manage an inning a lot better. And now, you know, they can't score bases loaded, nobody out. I mean, how many times have we seen them, you know, three straight strikeouts or, you know, them not even putting the ball in play, not even giving the defense the opportunity to, you know, have to make outs or, you know, anything like that.
Well, they haven't had a typical leadoff hitter since Dexter Fowler left. But again, I think part of that consumption is baseball has changed as well. And the other factor is they've always been a big fly team, you know. And historically, you know, they say when the wind's blowing out of Wrigley, all right, the pop-up goes out. But if I think if somebody do research in the last couple of years since they remodeled the ballpark and they put X amount of rows into the bleachers now and they got the big TV and scoreboard and everything else in it, I'm not so sure that those balls carry like they used to, you know. And I could be wrong, but, I mean, you know, I would like to see some pie chart on that.
I mean – I think, you know, they put up a whole bunch of new signs and they also like at one point deadened the ball or, you know, they were trying to get the ball out. Now they're trying to keep the ball in and they've altered the ball so many times that, you know, I'm sure there's research on like, what's it called, you know, how far the ball drives now or, you know, stuff like that. But I mean, in the 2016 playoffs, Baez hit that quote unquote no doubter home run that the wind blew back into the basket. I mean, the whole place shook, and you thought that ball was absolutely, you know,
crushed,
hammered, and it was, you know, on wavelength and whatever else, and it just barely caught in the basket. So, I mean, that basket adds how many feet do you think? How many feet is the basket?
Inner basket or whatever. I mean, it's hard.
Is that 340 out there?
Where it's 350 down each line, 353, 351 is 360 in the wells. There's a 365. I'm not sure. But I think the basket probably, you know, cuts off 3 feet maybe or whatever. But, you know, and they were put in, you know, the reason the baskets were put in there because people kept throwing garbage, you know, on the field of that. So that was one reason they initially started that or whatever. But I can also recall days when the wind was blowing in back in the day, Billy Williams was playing left field. And I forget who hit it, but the guy literally crushed the ball. And the first thing, Williams went right to the wall. And the next thing you know it, he's running 30 feet in, all right, and he barely caught the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Billy Williams, his birthday is June 15th?
Yeah, it seems to be somebody else's birthday is June 15th.
I don't think so. I think that's Keanu Reeves' Appreciation Day.
Ah, okay. Well, it's never good to tell your dad's age.
I didn't say your age. I didn't even barely say what day it was.
If I remember Billy Williams, I'm not 21.
You're significantly north of 21.
Yeah.
But if I'm 28, you have to be at least 29. So,
my dad taking me to games in 69 when we had that fiasco year, I think my first game
was that the black cat across the
Sano.
Across the on deck circle?
Yep. Because the first game I might have went was my dad took me, I think it was a doubleheader. It was 1956. They were playing, I believe they were playing, I thought it was the Mets, but you know what? I'd have to look it up to tell you the truth. But I know Ernie Banks hit 3 home runs that day. We were trying to get his autograph outside the park, and Ernie seemed to be in a hurry. You know, he was running down, was it Sheffield or, no, Clark, you know, and away he went. But anyway.
Do you remember, are there any, I know me and you have met Andre Dawson. And I know me and you, I don't know, either together or separately, have met Fergie Jenkins. I know I've drank with Fergie Jenkins. I think you drank with Fergie Jenkins too.
I'm sure Fergie was buying, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I offered, and he probably looked at me like,
I had Bill Kyle Fiennes once at the Cubby Bear. You couldn't miss him because he was always there.
Well, I'm sure during game days, they probably sent him a text, and he's like, oh, crap. It's already the fifth inning.
Yeah. Mark Grace was known to have a few cocktails down Southport Avenue.
I'm pretty sure Mark Grace is probably still drinking in Wrigley if they look in certain spots.
But he was a heck of a ball player.
I mean, I was born in 92. Mark Grace stopped being cool, what, 93?
Well, I think he still he has the most hits in a decade from 1990 to the year 2000. At least he did it as a couple years ago or whatever. But yeah,
I mean, he's no Jack Jones, so I'm not sure who.
This is true.
I mean,
you're probably
what color bat did
Jack Jones?
I'm sure me and Jack Jones's mother probably
the only two that know he ever played baseball.
Probably we're probably the only two that knows where he currently is. Did you know that this year Fangraphs has the Cubs at 77-85. That's third place in the NL Central and not making the playoffs.
Well, I mean, it would be disappointing, but reality is if you take a look at the makeup of the ball club, again, you know, other than Hendricks, you know, I mean, it's a solid starter. They did get Davies in that. They had no power pitchers or whatever. So, you know, the verdict's out. The bullpen's totally revamped. So you really don't know what you're going to get from them. I think they're maybe, you know, a little better than that. I'm going to get him at, 85 wins. Now,
Vegas has him at 79.5.
Yeah. Well,
I think they're definitely better than 500. I mean, I think they're 81 minimum. I mean, the NL Central is very, very winnable. I mean, I know everybody says that, the Cardinals won the division already getting Nolan Arenado, but I mean, I think that's, that's more offense for the Cardinals, but I don't think their pitching staff besides, Jack Flaherty is that good.
Well, their depth too is, their depth is suspect. I mean, so if they have any key injuries or whatever, okay, it's going to be tough to make up or whatever. So, I mean, if you get a Baez going down or a Rizzo going down, Chris Bryant, as much as everybody loves him, he's got to reapprove himself. He had a couple of lean years or whatever. So, he needs to get the power back and put the ball on the bat or whatever. I mean, his defense has always been above average in that. A lot of they got the young second baseman, Horner. I think he could be a good ball player. I'm not going to make him a superstar, but at this point, I think he's defensively, he's better than average. Offensively, he makes contact, So if he hits 270, 280 for you, you fill that gap. The outfield is, Jack Peterson or whatever. He wants to play every day. He's got to prove that he can hit left-handers. The verdict's out on that. Center field Happ is the guy that's really, as disappointing as he was for a few years, all of a sudden it seems that he might be onto something. And Hayward, you're not going to get hurt defensively. And if you can get, 250 out of him or better, you got a solid defensive team. Defense they can play. That's going to help them because they got pitchers down in rotation, not going to throw 95, 96. So the ball is going to be in play. So if they catch the ball and throw the ball, I think they're fairly capable of winning 85-plus games. So I'm not going to put them nowhere near 90, but I think, 85 is a good starting point or whatever. So,
like I said, I think the NL Central is very winnable. I mean, Cincinnati didn't get better. Milwaukee didn't get better. Pittsburgh definitely didn't get better. I mean, they won, it was obviously a shortened season last season, but they won the division. I think they were 34-26 or 32-28, something like that. Yeah. And I mean, just enough to get by. And that was with everybody basically underperforming for the last, couple seasons off and on. If they can get bounce back seasons from even half of those guys, I mean.
Well, the reality too is a lot of it, it's unpredictable to short season 60 some games and that, but none of those, they had to be last in, batting average, on base percentage or whatever. They were first in defense, I know that. But when, Javi's batting 202 and Brian's batting 220 and maybe Rizzo was the best of the bunch. Was he at 240 with the catcher, Contreras or whatever? But, Happ was probably the best offensive guy they had on the team there,
I think last year the top three were – I think it was Happ. I'm pretty sure Hayward was in like 260s and right. Somewhere between Contreras and Rizzo were maybe 3 and 4. Everybody else was, just barely above water at, 200. So if they can get, any type of production out of, half of the guys that they did last year, I mean, I don't think that, the NL Central is not – winnable.
Well, and the other defining thing too is depending on where they're at, in June before the trading deadline, and nobody wants to talk about this, but they got some heavy free agents between Rizzo, Bryant, Baez. They got the catcher for one more year, but based on their payroll on that, I find it inconceivable that they're going to sign all three. So if for whatever reason, they're just above water in that, and Bryant's having, a decent year, it may be an opportunity, and, all the Cup fans may hate me, but, you got to give him his highest value, and right now, the last couple of years, his value has not gone up, but again, they're not going to, sign each one of those guys to $250 million plus, and it won't happen.
Well, I think there's also – I think you probably locked down Rizzo. Contreras is obviously, you know, good. He's one of the top five catchers in the league, but they also have a lot of catchers in their system. So if it's between dollars and, you know, above everything else, I think he's probably the most expendable guy. I mean, they signed Bodie for 5 years a couple of years ago. He plays second, he plays third. So that there's no guarantee that, you know, Bryant stays around because, you know, if he has a good year and they can't afford him, then, you know, writing's on the wall.
Well, Contreras could be their best value to get something back, more so than, you know, maybe the other three of that. I think my personal opinion on Rizzo, they're probably going to sign him. What is he, 31, 32, something like that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to give him a hometown discount, but, you know.
I think if anybody was going to take it, though.
Yeah.
You know. It's not going to be Baez. It's not going to be Bryant. It's not going to be Contreras. It's probably Rizzo who would be willing to take less money so they can afford somebody else.
I mean, it just, you know, it's all a crapshoot. You don't know. Jock Peterson's out there for 1 year. He's on a one-year thing. All of a sudden, if he goes crazy, you know, maybe somebody offers him, you know, a couple picks this there or whatever. So, you know, if you just have it play out in that, I'm going to hang in there with the 85 tops and hope they do better.
I think Jack Peterson currently leads spring training with 5 home runs, 11 RBIs.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody ever made the Hall of Fame in spring training.
I mean, if they were not doing very good in spring training, I wouldn't bring it up. But, I mean, spring training only matters if you're doing good, because then people can say nice things like he leads spring training with 5 home runs and 11 RBIs. I think as of right now, the lineup's looking like Happ in center, Anthony Rizzo at first, Chris Bryant third, Wilson Contreras at catcher, Javier Baez shortstop, Nico Horner at second base, Hayward in right field, and then, you know, the pitching rotation, which actually isn't as rough as it was looking like it was going to be for a while. I mean, they lost Lester, they traded away Darvish. I'd like to say got rid of Quintana, but he was a free agent. Chatwood's gone. So, I mean, it was literally Hendricks, you know, standing in an empty locker room, you know, probably pitching every day. And then they went back and they got Arrieta, who, you know, is probably going to be nowhere near what he was in 15-16. But if he can be a back-end starter, then.
Again, you got a guy, you know, on a one-year deal. You know, he probably took a little less to come back here just to prove a point in that. So there's a lot of tangibles and intangibles with this team, you know. Again, they can tighten the knot and keep them all together, or, you know, find an opportunity to say, you know, we could still maybe win the division, but we're going to get rid of a couple key components because we got to, you know, they built it through the farm system and they were bad for many years. And I'm not saying that they should tear the team apart, but, you know, they're not going to sign all the free agents. So that in itself is going to tell you they're going to have to do something a little different, you know, but we hope for the best, you know.
I think Zach Davies had his best season with the Padres last year. It was obviously a shortened season, but right now it's looking like Hendricks, Arrieta, Zach Davies, and then some combination of Alec Mills, Trevor Williams, and Adbert Alzolay. What's really going to matter is Alzolay, if 2020 counts as a minor league option, then I think he has to start at the alternate site. And if it doesn't, well, no, maybe it's the opposite. So if he has 1 year left on a minor league, you know, option, then obviously they can keep him at the alternate site until need be. But if 2020 counts and he's out of that fourth option, then they'd have no choice but to have him on the opening day roster.
That might be a good point, Len, because he's either got one option left or he's out of options. So, again, that's going to be another thing or whatever, you know. Do you give up on him if he's out of options and put him on waivers or whatever? So that you know, Davies are pretty confident with Hendricks or whatever, and then you get 3, 4, 5 Arrieta, you really, you know, you hope you get 500 pitcher plus, and then after that, which is going to bring it to the bullpen, because if you don't have 5 true starters that are going to give you 6, 7 innings, that puts a lot of pressure on the back end. And right now, you know, they got so many changes there. I'm not sure who's coming out, who's going. And we all know about Craig Kimball. You know, you just don't know what you're going to get from him. You know, he finished strong. spring training, he hasn't been showing too much in that. I think he's on his last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's.
I mean, even if he's not on his last year, I think he might be on his last year.
Yeah, relief pitchers you can usually find. You know, if they've had a few. Pedro's trying to make the team. I don't know if he'll make it. Whatever. But again, a lot of changes in that area and that kind of same format when you lay the foundation. If you look at the infield, this and that, and again, you want to be optimistic. But these are the same guys they threw out there for the last 2 years that, you know, were swing and miss guys. So how many hitting coaches do you go through? All right. You know,
before you realize that these guys aren't teachable anymore.
Yeah, is it in their heads or whatever? I mean, you know, we finished last year, right? Did we score any runs against the Florida Marlins in the two playoff games?
Maybe one. I think the first game was 4-1, and the second one they didn't score anything.
Right, they got shut out. And if you look at it, they got two hits in one game and three hits in the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, the team with the most runs wins, so that's not going to change.
Yeah, I mean, and first of all, they played those games at, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock on a Tuesday or Wednesday. So most people who were at work had to listen to it on the radio, which I don't know whether it was better to listen to it or watch it, because I know it sounded terrible because I was listening to it. So I can't imagine it looked any better. But I was kind of hoping that Florida would make a run because they're the only team with one postseason appearance, and they won the World Series in that appearance. So when they swept the Cubs, I was hoping that they would just run the table and then be the only team in Major League Baseball to only have, you know, or to have the same amount of playoff appearances as World Series. So I thought that would have been cool. And I mean, we got Derek Lee after he won the World Series from the Marlins. So always appreciate that, even though he had an error on September 12th, 2006. But nobody remembers that error. Everybody remembers the three from Freddie Bynum and probably.
Well, I'm not sure, so sure how many people really remember Freddie Bynum. But unfortunately, we were at that game, so it kind of stuck in our heads.
Yeah, well, it was a late September. You know, they probably were out of the playoffs by then. I think they had 60 wins that year, 66 wins or something like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, and then they went to the playoffs for the next two seasons and got swept back to back. So, look at that. I think 2007, they were swept by Arizona. 2008 was the Dodgers. Or that might be flipped. I know it was Carlos Marmol, who was using his slider every single day, and then other teams realized that he'll throw four balls before he throws three strikes, so they never swung the bat for, you know, every single inning. Any inning that Carlos Marmol was in the game, no, I doubt there were any swing and misses. They were probably all just balls or wild pitches or God only knows what. Are you ready to potentially win some money and or look real dumb on this podcast?
I think it's a toss-up, but I'll give it a shot.
Let me give you an easy one. So it's 2016 World Series Game 7 questions.
Before I went to bed, with the extra innings or during the game?
So all of these questions should be before you went to bed.
Oh, okay.
Probably. Let's see. Let me give you an easy one. You know who the starters were in Game 7 for the Cubs and for Cleveland?
For
a dollar. So you got Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, who pitched for Cleveland?
Who pitched for Cleveland? Wasn't Trevor Bauer, although he did end that game.
Kubler? How do you pronounce it?
I'll give it to you, Corey Kluber.
There you go.
Is that what you were mumbling under your breath?
I was trying to spit out, yeah.
So far, you have a dollar.
Ooh, all right. I need four more to buy an old style.
They might not even be that expensive anymore. I don't even know if they still make them. For another dollar, what was the combined final score?
Game 7?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was 8-7.
Okay. So what's 8 plus 7?
Pardon me? 15. Oh, you're asking the total.
Ooh. Trying to trick me. Yeah. Well, that mm-hmm. essentially was a question. But okay, so now you got $2. Oh. It's going to start getting tricky. Who got the win in game 7?
Got the win in game
7? Can also tie into the next question. Who got the save in game 7?
Well, Montgomery.
Two different answers.
Montgomery got the save.
Montgomery did get the save. Yeah. So you're at $3.
Now, who got
the win?
Chapman blew it. Yeah. Pitched a scoreless ninth. And then went into the 10th. So who was. The game with 10 innings?
It did go 10 innings.
Okay. So I'm going to say, Chapman got the one, the win, even though he blew the
You're saying Aroldis Chapman got the win in game 7 of the World Series?
Yeah.
Of course he did. Because he gave up the home run to Rajah Davis.
Right.
That made it 6-6.
Right.
And then the Cubs scored. The yes. And then he went back out there for the ninth,
right.
Which I don't remember at which point they showed him crying. I don't know if that was after the eighth inning or if that was after the ninth when Madden sent him back out there and he probably, you know.
Well, we know Madden. I mean, he just abused that poor guy.
I mean, he was either crying because his fastball wasn't hitting anywhere near what it should have been.
Yeah, he was down about 7-8 notches on the
fastball. I know. I think he was throwing curveballs at one point. Yeah. He had lost all faith in the fastball.
He knew he couldn't throw the fastball anymore. There were sliders. I don't know if it was curveballs or whatever, but yeah, he knew.
I remember the fastball was hitting like 92, and I thought, better get him out of that because, and that home run was such BS as well. So, first of all, to hook around the pole, that was some voodoo because.
Well, he threw him a low fastball and just put the barrel on the bat and went out, so he probably didn't want to throw it there. Anything.
But I wonder in how many other parks would that ball have gone out, just hooked around the pole?
Yeah, well, down the left field line.
Depending on how far it went, I don't know if it would have went out at Wrigley.
Yeah.
I don't know how far that left corner is, but it just hooked.
The actual dimension in Cleveland was.
Really progressive field. Yeah. It's a sham. But I digress. So you have $4. Four questions, $4.
Ooh.
Would you like to quit?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't supposed to go like
that. I'll see you at the next podcast. We can talk about how Dad tried to disrupt the 2016 World Series.
Contract negotiations.
You can stop. Len's got to pay for a wedding in September if you don't know that, fans. So I'm sure his fiance.
Well, there's like a million fans. So, only like 150 of them are coming to the wedding. So. But, so this one is I have this one worth $1, but it might be tougher than $1, but I'm not raising the price because so far I'm losing money on this stupid thing.
Okay. Take my best shot.
There were 3 Cubs that hit home runs in game 7. Who are all 3? Two of them should be fairly obvious.
Dexter Fowler led off the game.
Dexter Fowler led off the game.
$5.
There you go. Well, it's only valued at $1. I mean,
I know that. Probably the third one I'm thinking is David Ross because
David Ross
bat.
Was one of them. So who else? I didn't I didn't remember this one.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
I mean, it was
somebody come off the bench. 2016.
So Fowler was in the first. Right. I'm pretty sure Ross was in the fifth or sixth.
Because then it was 6-3 then.
Yeah.
And then they bring in Lester.
So Hendricks went 4 2/3. So it's the fifth inning. And then Lester went in. And then he bounced the ball in the dirt to hit Ross in the head.
Yeah, 2-1 score.
Right, and then Ross hit a home run that next inning. So it had to have been the sixth inning. So Ross was the sixth inning. So somewhere between the first inning and the sixth inning, somebody else hit a home run that I'm pretty sure was a two-run home run.
Two-run home.
Right now you're at
that had to be
33 cents for Fowler, 33 cents for David Ross. You could get 34 cents. If you get this one, it's a name we've brought up before.
Yeah,
that's not very helpful because half of the team is the same team from 2016.
Is he still on the team now?
He sure is.
So my first thing that came up would have been David Bodie.
I don't believe Bodie was on the 2016 team.
Okay, so let's see.
Who's that? You can work it out Hayward. As you go. No. It was not Hayward.
No. Had we come, was it somebody coming off the bench?
No. It was a starter. Jesus. Well, that's good. And this will help you. I just gave you a hint to what another question is.
Oh, no. Was it? No. Did you say it came off the bench? No, it was a starter.
It did not come off
the bench. Rizzo.
It was
not Rizzo.
Oh, shoot. How many guesses
would you? Yeah, no. Put a fork in me. I'm done. Bam. Was it?
It was Javier Baez.
Oh, Javi.
I didn't remember that one.
Was it a right field shot he hit? You said it was a two-run homer.
I'm pretty sure it was a two-run shot. I only remember. No. I would have bet my life it was just Fowler and Ross.
Well, I remember Fowler let off, and I know Ross hit his last at-bat home run. That stuck out up to me. Now,
is he the oldest player to have a postseason home run?
I think so.
It's more fun facts for you guys. No dollars awarded to any fan who knew that. But
yeah. Well, maybe so you can get your money back at the next podcast. Maybe I'll pick out five trivia questions, see if you can get your money back.
Yeah, we'll pick a year that I was born.
No, I didn't say that.
Or you can do questions from the 1908 World Series.
I can only go back to what I remember, and that's probably like somewhere around 1960 and above, or at least I was 10 years old. I can remember some of that stuff for that, but we'll see.
So this one I had marked down for $5. I must have
been $5.
Must have been losing my mind.
This must be your mother.
Oh yeah. So this is the Cubs used 5 pitchers in Game 7. Who are all 5 pitchers?
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you $1 if you can name each one. We've named 4 of them.
Well, we know it was Hendricks.
Right.
Then we know you put in what's his face, the lefty that just traded to Washington. There's no free agent to Washington.
But they lost to Washington.
And they lost to Washington. Bought beers for everybody in September or October.
Correct.
Lester.
Mm-hmm. It was Hendricks, and then it was Lester.
Yeah.
And then they took Lester out and put in.
Who they put in for Lester?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure Hendricks went 4 2/3.
Yeah, then, okay. What's his face? Did he come in? No, because the lanky 160-pound, he pitched the 10th to get the first two outs in the 10th. Montgomery was the other guy.
You said his name already. Not in this monologue on, but
I had a great crumble. Yeah, that's for sure.
No, he wasn't on the team. it was the same position, but
did Pedro get in?
No,
it wasn't Pedro.
Pedro wasn't the closer.
Who got closed for him in 2016?
Who was the closer?
I don't remember that.
They went out and got him, and it was...
Chapman.
Yeah. So it was Hendricks, Lester, Chapman.
Montgomery.
Who
finished, saved.
Right.
And the kid they pull out.
You have 1, 2, 3, 5. Who was at 4?
What's his face?
Oh, correct.
Yeah, lanky right-hander.
Mm-hmm.
Sent him down a couple times, brought him back up. What the hell?
Then he ran out of chances.
Yeah. I'll give you 50 cents back if you give me his initials.
I mean, CJ? C-E-J?
C-J. Yeah, C-J.
Yeah, C-J, and then your daughter has a last name. It's the same last name.
Oh, yeah, Edwards.
C.J. Edwards.
Yeah, I thought he was going to finish the game. We got the first two guys out quick, and then all of a sudden...
And then it was a single, and then I think it was a single and a double.
Right.
So it made it 8-7. Right. With the man on first, second? It was a single, and then it was a double.
And he scored because that made it 8-7.
Right.
But I remember the guy was still on first, and then they put this guy.
The first was it Rajah Davis who made the last out?
No. It was the guy that I think it was the last guy off the bench. That would be a good trivia question.
Who made the last out for Cleveland?
Yeah, around the Bryant.
I could have swore it was.
No, I don't think it was Rajah Davis. No, it was a light hitting infielder, I think. Maybe it was in 220. No, because Davis is probably one of the guys who got to hit the double, the single. No, he drove into the seventh run.
Michael Martinez.
Was it Michael Martinez?
Yeah.
Like anybody.
Says Indians Michael Martinez is perhaps best remembered for making the final out in Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. He had a slow roller to third.
Now, that would have been a trivia question.
But you wouldn't have gotten that one either.
No, I wouldn't have gotten that one. Whatever.
Throw out the first to give the Chicago Cubs their first championship since 1908. Look at that, Michael Martinez.
Michael Martinez.
The name will live forever on this podcast, but probably never said again.
I don't know if he's playing anymore.
I doubt it. I would doubt it. Who can come back from grounding out to, I mean, ground out to third base in Game 7 of the World Series? What a putz.
Yeah, well, look, poor Cleveland. I mean, you know, they're still waiting to go. But anyway, can't cry over spilled milk.
I mean, we definitely spilled milk.
Yeah, down 3-1, came back. Who would have thunk?
I was getting so many, you know, negative text messages that I wanted to just throw my phone out. And then all of a sudden they were up in that game and I was ready to fire off some very fan-friendly text messages and tweets or whatever. And then it was 6-6 and I put my phone back down. I thought, I'm glad I didn't send these out yet because that would have been brutal. This could be an easy one. Who is the DH in Game 7 for the Cubs?
Is it Schwarber?
It was Kyle Schwarber.
He's
gone. Not to be confused with Jock Peterson, because they're essentially the same person. But both can't hit lefties. One was $3 million cheaper, though, which is what I guess they essentially set out to do. So, was to save money, and then they found money in the couch. So this one, if you can name all of them, I'll give you $10. And if you can name them all in order,
oh geez Louis.
I'll give you $20.
I think your bet's pretty secure just based on me fumbling on the previous ones.
So the Cubs were in Cleveland, so the pitcher doesn't bat. So in Game 7 of the World Series, Joe Maddon signed the lineup card. With which nine players? So who is the starting nine in Game 7 of the World Series?
Do I have to get them in order?
You don't have to get them in order. It would behoove you to do that, but I don't know. You get more money if you do that.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. That's not, I'm going to miss this somewhere. Who bet it? Did Hep? Hep wasn't on the team.
No.
So Fowler let off.
Correct.
You know that.
Dexter Fowler.
Did he have Rizzo bat in second?
Did he?
Was it Bryant?
Are you trying to name him in order, or are you just trying to name him at all?
Well, I know. No.
Because if your answer is Rizzo, you're both right and you're wrong. Because
so
Rizzo bat
second.
Rizzo wasn't second. No,
I
but
guess
Rizzo
penalized me for that. So who was bat in second? Bryant?
Did you mean Bryant batting third? Is that what you meant?
Well, you said Rizzo wasn't batting second.
Rizzo was not batting second.
So Rizzo was batting second. He was batting third. I don't think he had Baez that. He might have had Baez that cleanup.
Baez was also not cleanup.
No.
So far you've named guys that are all in the lineup. It's just not in order. But if you're hung up on who was at second spot.
Me that Bryant was third?
Bryant. I mean, he placed third and he was third.
Okay. So second, who batted second? I'll let off. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Hayward, that's for sure.
It was not. It
wasn't. Oh, well, Schwarber was a designated hitter.
Correct.
Where did he have him batting? Did he have a bat? I think he had a bat towards the bottom just to turn the lineup.
You think Schwarber was at the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he was like ninth.
You don't think Fowler in the first spot would have ran into Schwarber like he did in April when he hurt himself?
Oh, wow.
You don't think perhaps Kyle Schwarber was
did he have the catcher?
In the Contreras second
bat?
Spot?
Did he have the Contreras bat in second?
No.
Well, let's figure out who played. That's probably the easier thing.
Okay, well, so far you've said.
So we know Fowler.
Right.
So we know, I said Rizzo, but we know he played.
Correct.
Bryant.
Correct.
That cleanup. Okay, so. You know,
so, second. So you've named, you said Fowler, you said Schwarber, you said Bryant, you said Rizzo, you said Hayward, you said Baez.
Right.
So that leaves 1, 2, 3 players left. Correct. I mean, if I gave you positions, you'd be able to know right away.
Well,
but I will tell you to help you that they had Baez playing second base.
Oh, Baez! Oh, what's his face? The shortstop.
His name.
Unfortunately,
his name retracted from the record.
Yeah, right. Addison Russell. What was he batting? Seventh.
It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
He was batting sixth.
Mm-hmm.
He actually had a pretty decent World Series.
So you're missing 5 and 7. The 5 spot and the 7 spot.
So we have Rizzo, Baez, Russell, Bryant, Contreras, Schwarber was DH.
So you just said Contreras, he was 7.
Yeah, so you got Hayward, Fowler. I should only be missing one.
Well, if you know Schwarber was the DH, and Fowler was in center.
Yeah.
Hayward was in right.
Yeah.
Who was in left?
Well, we know it wasn't Amora because he came in later.
Correct. So who's their starting left fielder, at least that day? I don't know how many starts he would have gotten.
Yeah, no.
You're in, right. The, in the outfield.
2016, too.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the other second baseman? Now, Russell and Baez switched off, and Russell got that was later.
Correct. So it was Fowler, Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo,
yeah.
Blank, Russell, Contreras, Hayward.
So who was the fifth
Baez. Hitter? He was the fifth hitter.
Wow.
I believe he scored the 7th run, made it 7-6.
If I remember correctly. His face? Zobrist.
Benny and the Jets.
I cannot forget Ben Zobrist.
It's because he disappeared into the night.
Yeah.
That's why.
Well, in all fairness.
Don't get married, podcast. They ruin your baseball career. That's what happened to me. Baseball's over.
Every good man has his cross to bear.
That must be the end of the podcast. So technically you've won $19.
Yeah, but you know what? We'll throw it in a big bowl, and I'm sure
$19 is what? That's a beer and a half at Wrigley?
Well, if you go to Slugger's, you know, probably $9, yeah, beer and whatever. Go to Wrigley, yeah, you're gonna pay $10.50.
Well, it was what, $10.75 before?
Yeah.
Before COVID? Now what do you think we're going to be at?
Yeah, an IPA was
11. Spoiler alert podcast, me and him will be at opening day. So sorry if you're poor, but we'll be there. You could have been $19 richer if you called in.
Yeah. Lenny lets me, I'll spend the $19 on him, which is a beer and a hot dog.
It's a beer and a handshake or an elbow bump in these trying times. But yeah, so that'll be the end of technically the second episode, but the first episode is on the cutting room floor. Maybe, you know, for our 100th episode, we'll pull that one out and you can see how amazing that first one was.
I want to thank Lenny for inviting me. I really had a good time. I was hoping to get more of those trivia questions correct than that. But
some of these questions you were probably asleep for, so that's my fault.
That's true. But as Cub fans and that, we never give up. All right. So we're looking forward to Lenny continuing his podcast in whatever format. And if you're out there and listening, I'm sure we all appreciate it.
You guys have a good one.